Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the Holy Quran, the misconception I'd like to discuss today relates to the fact that people think that one has to be in a state of ritual cleanliness or in a state of wudu to touch and or read the Quran. Now, this is what is generally held, and this conclusion drawn is generally based on a verse of the Quran and a narrative ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before I discuss the verse from which this conclusion is drawn, I would first read out the narrative to you, which is reported by Abdullah ibn Umar from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recorded in Tirmizi. The words are "La taqrahil haid wal junub shay'an min al-Quran," so which means that a lady who is menstruating and a person who is in a sexually impure state should not read any part of the Quran. So this is a narrative on the basis of which it is construed that people who are ritually impure, they must not read the Quran. They must be in a state of ritual purity. They must be in a state of ritual purity to read the Quran. And first, it needs to be understood that this particular narrative, as has been specified by Hafiz Ibn Hajar in his Fathul Bari, that this narrative is weak in all its variants. So Ibn Hajar has clearly said that this narrative cannot be positively and correctly ascribed to the Prophet. So nothing can be drawn on the basis, no conclusion can be drawn on the basis of this narrative. Now, as far as the Quran is concerned, the verse from which this conclusion is drawn is in Surah Waqia, and the verse, of course, is very famous, as we all would know. The words of the verse are "La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun," and which mean that only the pure touch this Quran. None except the pure touch this Quran. And of course, if this verse is interpreted without its context being taken into consideration, and just this single verse and this single sentence is understood, one would of course conclude that only pure people should touch it, and therefore they have to be ritually pure. They have to be in a state of wudu to touch the Quran or read the Quran. Now, it needs to be understood that whenever we have to understand a particular Quranic verse, we must keep that verse in context. We must interpret that verse in context, otherwise grave and gross misinterpretations can result, as is the case here. So if we keep the context in mind of this verse, we'll come to know that what is being discussed just before is that it was generally objected that the Quran has been inspired by the jinns. The provenance of the Quran is not from the Almighty. Someone else has inspired the Quran, and this is generally attributed to the jinn, and these jinn actually reveal such things to their own soothsayers. So this is something which was very common objection in the times of the Prophet. Now, this particular objection is being discussed here and also refuted, and it is being said that this is not at all, that the case is that the Quran has been has any amalgamation or any intervention from jinn, or they are responsible in any way from revealing it or inspiring it. The Quran is absolutely free of all these incursions and intrusions. So in Nahu la Quranun Kareem, it's a noble book, fi kitabim maktun, it is in a very guarded tablet. It is in Kitabim Maknoon. And then the words occur, La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun, only the pure touch it, which in other words means it is only the angels who bring it down to the Prophet. There is no intervention and no one else has any say in this. And then again the words which come just after this verse are, Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen, its revelation is from the Almighty. So this whole group of verses is actually discussing the fact that the provenance of the Quran, that the origin of the Quran is from the Almighty. It has nothing to do with the inspirations of devils and jinns. They have nothing to do with it. Its origin is in the guarded tablet. And also, it is the angels who bring it down from the Almighty to the Prophet Muhammad. So they are pure beings, and there is absolutely no question that impure beings like the jinns or the devils have any intrusion or intervention in this, and it has been revealed by the Almighty. So taken in context, this verse just tells us that the pure angels of God bringing it down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is not at all implying the fact that only pure people can touch it and they have to be in a state of ritual cleanliness, which is wudu, if they have to read or touch the Quran. This is not true. So, as I said, that if this analysis is true and correct, then neither this narrative, which of course is not even correctly ascribed to the Prophet, nor this verse, which is interpreted out of its context, say anything regarding the fact that one must be in a state of wudu to touch the Quran. However, having said all this, of course, if a person has done wudu and then he touches the Quran or reads the Quran, this is something which is very desirable and would be a blessing for him and will win rewards for him. But to make wudu a condition to touch or read the Quran, this is not correct. And this is what is being implied in my talk here, that imposing this condition, it is not correct to impose this condition, because this condition has neither been imposed by the Quran nor by any correctly ascribed narrative of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisairil muslimina wal muslimat.